Hey everybody, and welcome to another Toured Up interview. And you know, I am always so privileged to have some wonderful artists on the show. Now, this one's rather special because, as all of you know, I have a soft spot for the blues. And some of the people that I've been lucky enough to interview, they've been around the block, they've done it all, and they have some great insight and stories to tell. That's going to be the case here. This artist has a new album out called Bob's Back. And I want you to give a big welcome. I'll probably get his surname wrong again. Would you please give a big torn up welcome to Bob Stogier. I got it wrong. I know I did.
All right.
You're welcome to the show, Bob. And tell the listeners, you know, when did the blues get into the veins of Bob? When did it all start for you?
Oh, wow. It started years ago, or me getting into the blues when I first came to Chicago, or I kind of married into a family, a family of Johnny Ferguson. He was a guitar player. He was a front porch guitar player, and I really enjoyed what he was doing, and what really got me hooked up into it when I got married and I moved behind a club called Silvio's, where Muddy Waters and I, everybody was working, Wolf. And so by me being a country boy, never had a suit of clothes before. And I saw those guys wearing suits and ties, and people was really looking up to them, buying them drinks and having fun with them. And I say, hey, that's what I want to do.
you liked the music and then you saw the lifestyle. So tell me, what age were you, Bob, when you first picked up that bass guitar? When did that start for you?
Well, I was an old man when I started. I was 21 years old and started trying to play music. When I first started out, I had the upright bass, but I couldn't do anything with that because, you know, you want to kind of stop off at places, and I had to carry that thing on the top of the car, you know. And so back then, they didn't have the portable bass, and a boy called Louis Miles and Dave Miles, they kind of hooked me up playing the guitar with the rundown strings, and that's where it all started. Because a boy named Calvin Jones used to play with Muddy Waters. He had a credit account, and he got my first bass on credit at a music store.
Wow. And you toured, I'm sure, at that stage. You were out playing quite a lot. Did you form your own band? Did you play with other artists, big names or stuff like that? Or how did the career develop over the decades?
Well, I started off, we had a little band, my brother and my cousin. We started off a band called the Red Tops years ago. And well, back in the day, we couldn't afford to buy no uniforms, so we bought little black Tams, and my brother's girlfriend sewed a red ball in the top of the Tam, and that's where our name was the Red Tops. So that was our uniform, our caps.
And listen, you know what? It was the very best too. You know, it's amazing what you can do and what you can do with very little when you have to. And that's it brings out the ingenuity in people.
Yes, you know. And I'm from old school, you know. I think back in the day when we was playing, you worked with the band if you didn't have a a black suit and a white shirt and tie, you just couldn't get, I don't care how good you were, you couldn't work, you know, you had to have some kind of uniform. Nowadays, you know, you wear what you want, but back in the days, you had to kind of wear suits and things to be recognized on the bandstand.
Wow. So there was a strict dress code then. In other words, if you didn't have the black suit, white short, black tie, you weren't going to get work.
Yeah, you had to have some kind of uniform back in the day. You know, that's what band was noticed for. And when a musician walk in the house, you just about know him from any other person, because he'd always be the one that really dressed up, you know. So yeah, that's what I really liked about it. And all in my younger days, I wanted to be remembered. And with me not the best of education, so I found out that music was my my best outlet to get to be known, you know, for people to remember me.
Yeah, and you know, you play a bass guitar. In fact, I was just reading on your profile, you won Blues Music Awards for Best Bass Player of the Year on a number of occasions, so it obviously was something. You know, a lot of people might be attracted to playing lead guitar, acoustic guitar, maybe harmonica. What was it that drew you that the bass was the thing that you wanted to play, especially when playing the blues?
Well, people just don't realize, but the bass is the heartbeat of the whole band. You know, I know it wasn't so particular about being out front. I just wanted to be place that make the leader sound good. I was kind of forced in being a leader, you know. I just wanted to be back and carry the band. And the bass and the drums are really, people don't look at it, but we kind of lead the band. We can kind of guide the rest of the guys where we want to go, you know. And so that's one reason I like it, because I play very important part of the band. And once anybody can start playing, the horn players, the guitar players, or when the bass or the drums stop, everybody look around, you know.
Yeah, you're right about that. Some people call them the engine room of the band, you know, they're the pulse that keeps it going. Tell me something. We'll talk. There was a track we heard there just at the start of the interview before we spoke, and it's one of the tracks of your new album, Bob's Back, and it's called Look Over Yonder Wall. Would you like to tell me a little bit about that track?
Oh, yeah. Well, Look Over Yonder Wall. Anytime I try to cut a CD or anything, I don't forget the one guys that brought me along. That was Eddie Taylor's song, and I just want to recognize him because he did so much for me. You know, he the one first one put me on big tours, him and Sonny Land Slim, and so I just always, in all of my records, I try to give some of the guys that brought me along to this business a little recognition. And so that's what I did, Yonder Wall, just to recognize, I want people to recognize Eddie Taylor.
I think that's a nice thing that you're doing, Bob, because, you know, we all have people in our life's journey that help us along the way, some with us for a long time, maybe some only a short time, but a lot of people help us to get to where we want to go, and I suppose it's always nice to remember them. Tell me, the band that you have at the minute, the Headcutters, how long is that band in existence? Are you playing a few years or many decades, or how long is that band together?
Well, we go back, that's my other family away from home, you know. When I first went to South America, we got together. And we kind of got together on accidentally, because I went to South America with Willie Big Eye Smith and Bob Mongolan to Argentina. And then we had a couple of jobs in Brazil. And so happened that Bob Mongolan's and Willie Big Eye Smith visa wasn't right. And so I had to go there alone. And they put me with the head cutters, and the rest been history. They just like a family to me, and they love me, you know, and I love them. And the way the CD came about, the first CD, they just wanted to do a CD on me just for remembrance, you know, just to have something, we did something together. And I just want to give back to the people in this business, especially those guys. And I said, well, if we gonna do that, let's I'll cut the CD with you guys. If you promise, I'll try to get it on an American label. And we cut the CD, and Del Mar loved it. So the rest is history. And I'm going back with them again in November to do another tour with them.
That's fantastic. And it's testament to you as well with your energy and vitality. And, you know, I think it's something I'd like to share with the listeners. Like, you're doing this, you're touring, you're recording new albums, and you're 94 years young, and you're going better than ever. And I think that's a fantastic achievement, and well done. That's great, because it gives great inspiration to everyone else in the business.
Oh, yeah, I am very blessed, you know, to be doing what I do, and I love doing what I do, you know. Music is my life, and I love traveling. Matter of fact, I'm leaving out on this 19th. I got to go to Ohio, and then from Ohio, then I come back. I'm going to Norway with Bob Fortor and John Grimer. So I just love what I'm doing, and as long as I'm having fun doing it, I'm going to keep doing it. I always tell people I'm a poor man living a rich man's life, you know?
That's lovely. That's lovely. Well, I think we're going to hear some more music from the new album, Bob's Back. And this, I really like this track, and we'll talk about it afterwards. This is called Champagne and Reefer.
Give me champagne when I'm thirsty. Give me reefer man when I'm really high. Give me champagne when I'm thirsty. Give me reefer man when I'm really high. Well, you make me feel real, real good. Woman here by my side. Well, it should not be against the law when a man won't talk like that. Well, it should not be against the law when a man won't take it like that. So good for the head, it relax your body, man, don't you know?
cocaine.
Yeah, champagne and reefer is a good combination, Bob. What's the story behind the track?
Well, I got, that's one of Muddy Waters, tune he did it, and I wanted to do it because it's a fun tune, you know, in there. But I did it my way. It's a little different from what Mud did it, you know. But I love the tune, and it's kind of get people with a smile on their face. They don't know how to take the song, you know. So that's just a fun song, and I love it.
Well, I think, you know, Bob, fun is very important, especially in music, because for a lot of us, and I'm a big music lover, just like you, and, you know, in this world that we're in the minute, there's all sorts of tragedies and terrible things happening. But the one antidote to all of that, to take us to a happier place, is music. Because music soothes the soul. It puts a smile on your face. It makes you want to dance. It connects you with people from all over the world. And I think music was never more important than it is right now. And God bless people like yourself, Bob, that are out there doing it and bringing smiles to people's faces, because it's a great thing that you're doing.
Yes, and I love what I'm doing. I kind of preach that all the time. It is a kind of troubled world now, and I feel good. People kind of come to my show. They feel kind of downer, but my job is to put a little laughter, a little fun in their life for the hour and a half they spend listening to music. And so that's what I do, you know. And I think if I could give 4 or 5 people feeling better when they leave my show, and when they came there, I think I did my job. That's what music's about. And I preach that all the time to the young musician. Music is love, and it's about love. And it's about being together and make people kind of forget their ups and downs. You know, I do a lot of shows that people say, boy, you're having so much fun up there. I feel a lot better seeing your show. You know, I leave your show with a smile on my face, a hum in one of the songs that you sung, you know.
You know, Bob, when you hear that from a fan, it must give you great joy in your heart as well, that you're, through music, you're able to make people happy. That's a great thing to be able to do to another human being.
Yes, it is, and it makes you feel good. You know, I feel really, really good about it. So we all have problems, you know, but my job is about love, you know. I tell people, well, my son is in the politics, but I'm in the music. He got the headaches, and I have the fun.
I love it. He gets the headaches, and I get the fun. That's a quote I'll not forget. That's brilliant. Let's hear some more music now. We're going to play another track from your new album, Bob's Back. And this track's called Jazz Man Blues.
Jazz ain't nothing but a blue man blowing his horn. Jazz ain't nothing but a blue man blowing his horn. Came home last night and he found his baby gone. I know his feelings cause I've been there myself. I know his feelings cause I've been there myself. Came home last night and my baby just said little. Thank you. There ain't nothing but a blues man blowing his horn. There ain't nothing but a blues man blowing his horn. Came home last night and found his baby gone. I know if you can go fast and never fail. I know if you can go fast and never fail. Came home last night, my baby just said no.
Yeah, I suppose blues and jazz have been kind of like first cousins. You know, they're a bit different, but they still have a lot of similarities. And you know, how would you see that, or even the song? How, what does the song represent? Is it, or is it just a different story completely?
No, I kind of did that when I was playing with Sunnyland. And a boy called Sam Burghardt, he's from Switzerland. And he's in the jazz now. He's playing a little more jazz. But when we was together, we played a lot of blues because it was Sunnyland. And that, I kind of dedicated that song to him. Jazz ain't nothing but a blues man blowing his horn. So that, I did that for a friend of mine.
That was lovely. I mean, the album, I think, is something like about 43 minutes long. I think there's maybe 12 tracks on it. And I think that's a good length of time, because sometimes when CDs came out and vinyl disappeared, there was albums that lasted nearly an hour or more. And it's very hard to keep people's concentration to listen to a CD that long. I think if you have 10 to 12 tracks on something, that's a kind of a nice period of time. And I'd be also of the old school that says that you have to select your tracks in a certain order on the album, that you just can't put them on anyway. There's this kind of there's a flow to listening to an album. You're tucked into a zone. When you listen to the first track to the last one, you're taken on a journey. And that journey is the flow of that album. I know I do that with the radio show too, where I try to put the tracks in a certain order that it kind of gives, and I'm sure you understand what I mean, it gives that flow when you're listening to it.
Yes, you know, what I try to do on my CDs, I try to do different styles, different things, because some CDs that you listen to, if you hear one song, you just about hear it all, because all of it is on the style, same style, you know. But when I do something, you may not like one, but maybe you can pick out something out of the CD, what I'm doing, that you do do like this. We're not going to change styles, change kind of music I play, you know, and not the same thing all the time. So that's when I try to put much of a mystery in my on my CDs I possibly can.
You know what? You're so right. And that little bit of variety is good. But, you know, I realize from talking to you, Bob, you still have so much passion for doing this. I can hear it. I can feel the happiness in your voice. I can feel the passion vibrate. And that, to me, says music's eternal. Music never goes away. And if you have a love for music, Bob, as we've had from an early age, you know, that never leaves you. It's something you have for the rest of your life. And music is something you can play or take part in almost at any stage in your life. It's not like if you're a footballer or you're someone in, you know, if you're a boxer or something like that. But if you're a musician and you're playing music, there is no age limit. You can basically play all your life, which I think is a great thing.
Yes, you know, that's what I always preach. You know, that's what's so great about music. Music is it's something you never learn. You know, as old as I am now, I am learning. Matter of fact, I tell you one of the my students I teach for Pine Top organization down in Mississippi, and a lot of the kids, they're learning from me, but believe it or not, I'm learning a lot from them too. So we teaching each other, you know. So it's always things that you can learn, and music, it's no end to it. You know, that's what's so great about it. There's no end to it. You can learn something every day about it.
You know, Bob, isn't that beautiful, you know, that, you know, as you say, with all your wealth of experience, and then you can still, you know, listen to a young person, maybe they have something, you know, that you learn from them. And I think that's the beauty of it. But come back to the live music. You were saying you're going out on tour with the band in November. Is there any plans for any gigs in Europe, or is that maybe next year, or how does that sit at the minute?
Well, yeah. Well, I go to Switzerland next year. Going. I'm doing Lausanne, Switzerland, and I'm going up and doing the French for next year. I got that signed up already. So
good man.
I kind of take the jobs that are. I really take, you know, I want to do in fun gigs. It's not just a hassle for me. I'm just doing the great gigs that I love, you know.
In other words, Bob, there's no way in the world that you're ever going to retire. You're just going to keep on doing this for as long as you possibly can.
Well, I tell God, I retired when I was 50 years old, you know, and I got into music. I'm doing the thing as a rich man do. A rich man, he got money, travel around the world, and play golf and whatever he do. But I go and play my music, traveling around in the world, living in the best, eating the best of food. So that's when I say I'm a poor man's living a rich man's life.
Well, you know what? You well deserve it. That's for sure, Bob. Now, we have one more track to play, and I know this means a lot to you. And we'll introduce it and we'll talk about it now before we play it, because we're coming towards the end of the interview. So the last track that we picked is something called Love You Baby. What's the story behind that, Bob?
Well, that's matter of fact, that's the second record I ever did in my life. You know, I was working with Eddie King back in the day. Warner, the tune I cut was Love You Baby. And the first one I cut was Push Love. Then we come back with Love You Baby. And so I just wanted to recognize Eddie King, though he gone and left us now. But I worked with him, about 10 years, the better. And so he kind of got me started from the rock and roll and the blues we played. We had lots of girls singing, so I wanted to, as I say, recognize the guys that kind of brought me along and helped me along and I played with. And so everything I put on my record, I have a lot of stuff on my own, I do, but I always find room to do things for the guys that I care so much about back in the olden days.
Yeah, listen, I can sense that from you, Bob. You know, I've only got to know you a very short time, but you have a huge amount of humanity in your heart and soul. You love music with a passion, and that keeps you young. You have so much jive for it. It's never ending. You just keep going, and it keeps you young, and that's so important. So before I play the last track, I want to say on behalf of everyone here and all the listeners listening in, I want to thank you, Bob, so much for being the guest on this week's Tore It Up interview. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, thank you. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. Okay, then, we'll talk later.
Yeah, listen, you look after yourself and we'll keep in contact. And, you know, when you're getting over to Europe, who knows, maybe there might be an Irish date at some stage. And if there is, we'll certainly meet up.
Okay.
All right, listen, you be safe. So we're going to finish off, folks, now with Bob's favourite on his new album, Bob's Back. This one's called Love You Baby. Take care, Bob.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
Love you, baby, and I always will. Love you, baby, and I always will. Hey, hey, hey. Took you downtown and bought you everything. Went to the army for 2 long years. Bought 12 months on the part of career. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you did me wrong.